Podcast City Network. The Everett Lee Show.
Come on, port, go. All right. Love that sound. Let's change the mood. Nice little interesting track. Oh, that's what that sounds like. Welcome, everyone, to the Everett Lee Show. I'm the Everett Lee. I want to give a quick shout-out to everyone that follows me on social media. Facebook, Everett Lee Show. Twitter, at the Everett Lore Score Lee. Instagram, Everett Lee. And YouTube, Everett Lee. And I have a great podcast tonight here on this Tuesday night here live on Podbeam. I have a great podcast. I have a really great guest lined up here tonight on this Tuesday night here. Just trying to get the words together. Just trying to figure out what kind of words I want to use. But pretty much my guest tonight is...
Kakao! Hello! Hey, it's nothing. He says he knows you.
No one. That's right. My guest had to cancel out tonight on this Tuesday night. Had to pull out. And Karma Dean, we'll have her back on another time and date. So if you follow me on social media, just look for the link and everything to be posted on the social media, as I mentioned at the top of this program. So what do you do when you don't have a guest and it's just you? Pretty much you got to entertain yourself and entertain the people around you, which ain't easy. But I got myself a cold drink. Pour yourself a cold drink and kick back and pretty much gonna discuss and talk about just random conversations, random stories, just random stuff. I pretty much just have a lot on my mind. I'm not going to bitch and complain. It's just random conversations, random stuff. There's a lot I can go and think of that's running through my head right now, but I don't know where to start. Maybe last night. Yeah. What did I do last night? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's been a while since I looked and watched anything new that I haven't seen yet. I'm pretty much the last person to watch something new when it comes out already. People's already seen it. I'm the last one to see it. And then to me, it's new and exciting because I just seen it. And I think what did it for me last night was I seen that Ivan Rickman passed away from Ghostbusters, the original, the guy who directed the first two Ghostbusters movies. He passed away. And I said to myself, I said, I haven't watched a new one yet. I wonder if I can get a hold of it and watch it. So that's what I did. I sat down with my wife, my 4-year-old, because I remember watching the first one when I was her age and how much it scared me and frightened me with parts of that movie. But when you get older, you look at that stuff and you just laugh at it. You're like, wow, this is cool how they did this. Wow, it's cool how they did that. That's pretty much how it was for my daughter. She was scared and enjoyed it at the same time. It was great. It was great sitting back and watching that movie through her eyes, seeing how she reacted to it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. It was fun. Nostalgia. I just like that word, nostalgia, for some reason, just how it sounds. The nostalgia, the tip to the hat for the first movie, all through the movie. And it was a great send-off for Harold Ramis, because they did it right, I think, with his character, Egon, how they set that up. It was fun. She got scared. She didn't like the hellhounds. I thought it was cool. And it, her terror reminded me of the terror I had when I first seen the hellhounds in the first one. But yeah, that was entertaining. My wife said to me after the movie was over, she has any nightmares tonight, you're going to deal with her. And I said, okay, I'll deal with her. She had no nightmares. I knew I didn't have nothing to worry about, because she didn't wake up. She didn't get scared. So therefore, it was an easy night, a good night. But it's one thing I like doing. Sitting back, watching a movie with my wife and my four-year-old. It's fun. It's time well spent, as they would say. It is. It's good family time spent with your family. Because when she gets older, she'd look back and say, we used to watch movies together. We used to watch stuff together. She, last year, went with me to a few of the CFWE shows when I was running production there at our live shows for Championship Family Wrestling Entertainment. She would go with me. She went a couple times with me, and she loved it. She had fun. She made friends. She checked out and seen the stuff Daddy did, setting up production, getting things set up with the camera, making sure the sound worked, the cameras were set up right, me talking to the cameramen, her seeing my setup that I was running in the back there with the boys, working with the promoter, the booker. She got to see her dad do all that. And she loved it. She loved it. She even got in the ring, which was great, with the other kids. She got in the ring there. And one of the veterans said it looked like she was moving like a natural. I don't know about that, but if she ever decides she wanted to pick up and get into wrestling, that'd be fine. And I know a person that would train her, and train her right. And I wouldn't have no problems with it, because if she ever wanted to do that, I'd support it. For example, Cobra Kai season 4, when I came out at the beginning of the year, I binge watched like everybody else when Netflix released the season of that first season, or not first season, excuse me, the latest season. They drop all episodes and you're going to burn through it within a day, which I did like last year with season 3. Season 4, same damn thing. Burnt right through the whole season in a day. And she walked in towards the last part of it during the karate tournament, and she saw the girls having their matches. She watched it, and she loved it. She sat right next to me. She got up on the couch, she got right next to me, real close, sat there, and she was just amazed by what she was seeing on TV. Next thing I know, my wife asked her weeks later, we were thinking about getting her in gymnastics. And she was asked, what do you want to do? You want to do gymnastics? No. You want to do this? No. You want to do that? No. What do you want to do? Her answer was, I want to do karate. Okay. All right. We'll get you in karate. We will do that for you. We'll get you in karate. So therefore, my wife looked out and found a class, a school, and we got her in karate. And she's doing great. She loves it. She loves karate. She just has so much energy, man. I don't know where she gets this energy at. I don't know where she gets this energy at. It comes from somewhere. I remember when I was a kid, I was a hyper kid. And I would get into trouble. I'd get on my bike, ride around the neighborhood. I live about two blocks from the place I grew up in. And I would get in trouble with my friends. We'd get on our bikes. We had woods, a patch of woods with this big house. And we always thought it was haunted. We were 8, 9 years old. We thought the house was haunted. There was an old lady that lived there. We thought she was a witch. And the rumor was there was a witch that lived in that house. An evil witch. She'll take you alive if you get near the house. Okay. You know, it scared us, but curiosity, you know, killed the cat. That pretty much took in our curiosity. We wanted to explore that. And we did. We went and explored those woods to see that house and see if there was a witch in that house. We got in some trouble. We got the cops called on us because we were acting up, causing so much noise. And she called the cops on us, and the cops showed up, and there was me, two other friends. It's about three of us. Yeah, about three of us. And then we had our parents, and they pretty much, we were told, don't bother her. She's just an old lady living by herself in her house, and just stories were fabricated. Evil witch, she's going to take you alive. Nah, nothing happened like that. But the curiosity just killed us because we wanted to see that. And I think with kids, it's just a curiosity factor. You just, when you're told no, you're going to do it. And that's what we did. We went and got in trouble. So much energy in us. Just excitement. Same thing with her. So much energy and excitement. It makes me smile to see how bright she is and how she goes about. I just love that. I just love that about my daughter. And I just can't wait to see as she gets older where and what she gets into. Because I'm going to support her. God, I love her. You got to love your kids, man. If you're a parent, you understand what I'm talking about. If you're not a parent, just wish they would have put a manual with when children are born. Make it much easier. But I think that's the one thing about life. You have to figure out things on your own, you know? That's pretty much how that goes. So, if they had a manual to everything, life would be much easier. But that's not the case, and it's not going to happen. Never going to happen. I think that's the fun part about life, is you have to figure things out. I've been figuring shit out for a long time in life. And it gets easy, and then it don't get easy. I know for one thing, today is my father's birthday. God, I miss him. He passed away in 2012, prostate cancer, 81 years old. If he would have lived today, he'd be 91. God, if I lived to be 91, I don't know what I would do with myself. I have no idea. My grandmother lived to be 100, if that counts for anything. But just imagine all the stuff you would see if you lived to be 100. 100 years, that's a lot to see. You get to see a lot of things come and go, change, stay constant. I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I lived to be 100 and everything that I see and do and experience. It'd be one hell of a life. And that's what my grandmother did. She lived to be 100. She passed away a few months after my father did in 2012. What I think she hated the most or upset her the most was that she had a child pass away before she did. And it happens. It happens. But I've heard it said before, a parent should not have to bury their children. They shouldn't. When it comes time, your expiration date is up, your children should be laying you to rest back in the earth. But it sometimes don't happen that way. It just don't happen that way. Life's crazy. Life's strange. Every time I think of life, I think of that old commercial where the old lady is in the car and she's trying to get into her garage and someone's hitting the button and the door keeps slamming on her car and it says, life comes at you fast. Every time I think about life, that's what I think of. Life comes at you fast. And when it does, you got to figure out what you got to do with it. And it's been a great life. It has. I wouldn't take anything back. Maybe I would. I'd probably take some stuff back. Regrets. Do I have any regrets? I think I do. Someone's talking about regrets today. I overheard people at work talking about regrets. Do you have any regrets? Any regrets in your life? Do I have any regrets? Yeah, I have some regrets, but there's nothing you can do about it. You can't dwell on it. Some people dwell on the decisions they make. I can't. I definitely can't. But talking about decisions, that just popped in my head right there. I just thought of something. Talking about decisions, I like talking about my cousin up in Tennessee. My good old redneck cousin, Spud. We're going to use his nickname, Spud. That's his nickname. Old Spud. There's some stories, a couple experiences. I've talked about it on the podcast back in the past before. I think a couple years ago, I shared some Spud stories. Well, I got some more right here tonight. It's just popped in my head here, talking about my redneck cousin, Spud. So, Spud decided he was going to go fishing. And this was right around the end of winter. And you wake up in those cold mornings in Tennessee, and it's cold, just cold. 5-6 o'clock in the morning, you wake up, and it's cold. And the sun comes out that day. It's warm in the sun, but it's still cold. It's like the cold just sits right there. And it don't move, no wind to move it. And it just sits. And it just makes you cold. You go in the shade, you're cold. You go out in the sun, you warm up a bit, but you're still cold. It was one of those mornings. The night before, Spud wanted to go fishing. He asked me and my stepbrother, you want to go fishing with me tomorrow? We're going to go up to the lake. You want to go? We haven't been fishing a long time there, Everett. Okay, we'll do it. All right, I'll give you a call. Okay, 6 o'clock in the morning. My phone goes off. It's him. I answer the roll over, and I pick up the phone. And I tried to answer it. You ever roll over, try to pick up the phone, and you're trying to answer it? You're half awake, half asleep, and you're smashing something. It's almost like smashing the alarm clock, hitting the snooze button. Just, you know, you just like, you know, just hit that thing and just stop it. And you roll back over and you want to go back to sleep because you don't want to get up. Especially this morning, I did not want to get up. It was so damn cold. I'm like, fuck if I'm getting up. But I hung up on him. Didn't think nothing of it. I rolled, but my ass rolled back over. There goes the phone again. I'm like, son of a gun. So I, at this time, I was more awake than asleep. So I answer it. So I answered it and said, hello. Where are you at, boy? We're going fishing. Get your ass out here. He was already there outside my house waiting for me. So I wake up. I wake up. I get my stepbrother up. My stepbrother stayed over the night so we could go fishing. I figured we'd get up a little bit later. Not a crack of dawn. Damn. So I wake him up. We're getting ready. And my stepbrother says, it's cold out. I said, I know. Let's hope it warms up, we thought. So we get ourselves together. My dad wakes up. We're staying at my dad at the time. What the hell are you guys doing up this early? My dad is asking. Like, going fishing. Going fishing. As my dad would say, it's colder than a well digger's ass outside. You going this early in the morning? You crazy? Like, nah, we're going with Spud. He's like, yeah, you're definitely crazy going with Spud fishing this time in the morning and this cold. So we just kind of put it off and said, we'll see you later. So we jumped in his truck. We fit in his little one cab truck. I was stuffed in the middle. Brother was over by the door. He had shotgun. I rode in the middle. He had a boat attached, his boat. We're ready to go. He's like, all right, let's go. We take off. We get to the lake. Sun is about up. And again, sun's up. You just want to get in the sun because it's so cold. But it's still cold, even in the shade. The temperature just lingered the same. So we unload the boat. We jump in the boat. He fires it up. Don't start. Fires it up again. Don't start. Then he does it one more time. And that thing goes wide open like a lawnmower set on high. Just, you know, that rah, da, 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 da. So he knocks that thing in high gear, I'm assuming. And we haul ass out in the lake. 7 o'clock. In the morning, got our fishing poles, check. Got our bait, check. We got heavy clothes on, check. We got all that. While we're going, I'm yelling, trying to talk to him. I'm like, my brother says something. I said, what? He's like, what? Oh, yeah, what? And I leaned in and he finally said, does he have any life preservers? I said, let me ask. Spud. And looking at me, nodding, Spud. Looking up again, like, Spud. He's like, what? I said, you got any life preservers? Oh, we had a life preserver. Okay. So it's so loud. It's like, nah, 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 we're in that water. Finally, I leaned in. And when I did, I almost slipped. He caught my arm. He knocks it back down. We're in the middle of the lake where we need to get. And he's like, what are you hollering about, boy? And I said, Spud, do we have any life preservers? I was like, oh, shit, I forgot them. It's like, oh, son of a bitch. We're going to drown out here. We're going to freaking drown out here. So we get our poles ready. We get our bait ready. So we start casting. We're out there probably about 45 minutes out in the middle of the lake. at the end of winter, cold as fuck, fishing, 7 o'clock in the morning. So I'm casting my line. I'm just casting. He's casting. Spud's casting. And we're casting. Ain't catching nothing. Ain't nothing. Finally, he gets a bite. And he gets away. My brother, stepbrother gets a bite. And then it goes away. And then he loses it. Me, I don't catch nothing. The only thing I would catch that morning is a freaking cold. Seriously. That's about what I caught. A cold. So, no good. So we fire up the boat again and we take off. We go to the other end of the lake. We cast again. We're out there another 45, 50 minutes casting. Nothing. Not a bite. So I said to myself, I looked at my stepbrother, but I was saying to myself, I was like, nah, this ain't good, man. So my stepbrother, he's like, I need to go to the bathroom. So Spud's like, just let it rip. I'm like, no, man. He's like, he can't do that. And he's like, all right. He's like, I've got this spot over here. He's talking about that he'd go camping at. He'd take the boat out to this like little island that was isolated. So we go out there. We get off. We park the boat there, bring it up on shore. So my brother goes out there and, you know, takes a piss, finds a tree. And it's funny, he's going around, looking around and stuff. My Spud tells him, he's like, it ain't that hard to find a tree. You're surrounded by them. So he goes, I was like, you know what? Just waiting for him to go take a piss. I looked at Spud and it's like, we might as well just go since we're here. So we all go take a piss break, like a long piss break. After that, we jump back in the boat and we head to this other spot and we get up on shore there and we decide fish from the bank. So we got the boat over on the side, fishing from the bank. We're still not catching nothing, not catching a damn thing. So then he decided what I'm trying to remember what happened. Oh yeah. Okay. So we decide to leave. So we get in the boat and he's pulling it and it's like he's yanking it, trying to get it to start. Nothing. The damn thing's not starting. So he says, all right, get out. I know what the problem is. So we get out. We get back up on shore there. He's like, now let me explain this. Spud had one of these little 3-man boats, but he had this big ass engine on the back of it to where if it was just him in it, the front end would like stand straight up out of the water as he goes across the lake. It weighed down because we were in the boat. So Spud decides he's going to get it going. So we're sitting on the bank watching him. He gets in there and he stands up. And he's floating back away from shore and he's yanking on the thing, just run, run, run. And finally he yells just like, son of a broom, and it starts. Soon as that happens, it was in high gear. He falls back in the boat and hauls ass straight. We start laughing our asses off, me and my stepbrother, and we just laughed out loud. Just was like, holy shit, he's gonna drown himself, or we're gonna be stranded here. We're gonna have to swim back to get back to his truck. It's something that happens, I'm going to flag down someone to say, hey, our crazy redneck cousin just drowned himself in a homemade boat of his. So we ended up, we were just laughing. He falls back on his ass, and that boat, the front end's like, and we thought, oh shit, he's going to tip. He's going to capsize. He didn't. He got back up and he killed it, and he came back up on shore, or he didn't kill it though, but he got it down to low gear and he comes up. It's like, all right, again. So we get in. So we spent, I guess, the remainder of time just taking a ride around the lake on the boat, fishing. We couldn't catch nothing. So we get back to his truck. We load up and we get the boat on. Pack up everything, get back in the truck. And by this time, we're not cold anymore from the running around to loading up everything to laughing our asses off with our cousin almost drowning himself in his little three-man boat with his big-ass engine. And we left. We headed back. Got back home, dropped me and my stepbrother off at my father's. Father's like, hey, you're back. Did you freeze your ass off? And he started laughing. And I said, what do you think, Dad? He's like, I think you're a fool. Like, all right, whatever, Dad. I knew how to take my dad. He's just laughing about it. And he's like, you catch anything? Nope. Didn't catch nothing. I said, no. I said, about the only thing I caught was a cold. So I went out fishing on a boat and I caught a cold. That's all I caught. A freaking cold. But just moments and times like that, just it's stuff you'll never forget. Another time we went fishing. I don't know if I've told this story or not, but we went fishing one time up the creek. Same boat. And we're going down the creek. Me, my stepbrother, and Spud again. Now this time it was around spring. Same few months later in the spring. We go up the creek. We're going fishing. We're standing up in the boat and we're casting. I'm casting the hardest I can, casting. And all of a sudden I fling back with my arms and I swing everything I got. And it felt like I hooked something. Excuse me. It felt like I hooked something, which I did. And I started pulling. And all of a sudden I hear, ah, God dang it, boy. Turn around, look. Oh, it's my cousin. I hooked him in the ass with the fishing pole. Right in his ass, on the side of his ass. He's like, quit pulling, you're gonna pull the skin out. He's yelling at me. My stepbrother's dying laughing. He's dying laughing. He said, Spud said, you almost took my ear off. I felt it go by my ear. I said, oh shit. You're getting a little bit close there. Well, how much can you cast in a little freaking 3-foot boat? It felt like. You don't got that much room. You got casting going on from all sides. I'm surprised I didn't get hooked. My stepbrother didn't get hooked. Spud got hooked by me. So he wanted that hook out of his ass real bad. So what? He dropped his drawers. I'm like, for God's sakes. Oh, man, yeah, I got him good. And he's trying to pull that thing out. He's like, I can't get out. He's like, get those pliers. So I grabbed a pair of pliers he had in his tackle box. And he's trying to reach around to get him. And he looked at me and I looked at him. I said, really? He said, you did it. And I said, son of a bitch. All right. We're family, so anybody else, no. So I I squat down and I'm trying to pull this hook out of my cousin's ass. We happen to come up in a clearing, and at that time, there's two guys on the bank fishing. Here they see, let me picture this for you. You're bank fishing. You look and you see a boat come floating down the creek. All of a sudden, you see one guy standing up, still fishing. You see another guy standing up, and you see another guy behind the other guy, one of the guys standing up, and it don't look right from a certain point of view. And you ever seen The Christmas Story with Chevy Chase, Randy Quaid? Merry Christmas, Shitter's Full. This happened along the same lines of that. We're floating by, and he's like moving his hand back behind him real quick. He's like, come on, hurry, hurry, we got people. I'm like, I can't hurry any faster. Come on, get it out. I'm like, I'm trying. And sitting there, and all of a sudden it's like, too late. All right, this don't look right, too late. So they're looking at us, and we're floating down. And, of course, he has a big-ass bush light in his hand, my cousin. So he holds it up, takes a swig, holds it back up again, and he's like, how's it going? He's like, catch any fish? He's like, I caught a hook in my ass, and he's trying to get it out, but we're good. We're going to catch a big one. And just kept going down. And then before we left, I'm trying not to laugh because I'm like, oh, shit, Spud. It's like, you would. And then he yells back. He's like, I want fish there. You ain't going to catch shit. It's like, shut up, Spud. Shut up. Come on. You want this hook out of your ass? Get it out of my ass. So just kept doing that. Got it out. So we get up the creek there. So me and Spud switched sides. We switched how it was. Spud, me in the middle, my stepbrother. So we switched around. I got on the end on the far left. So I wouldn't hook no one. So we get up to the spot in this deep part of the creek, and he says, oh shit. He's like, this is a good spot. I said, it is. It's a good spot. How good of a spot is this? He's like, I've been trying to catch this one fish. You have? He's whispering to me. And I didn't know until later, before we went fishing that day. He already had a fifth of Jack Daniels in him and wild turkey on top of it. And I think some vodka and some Bush Light. And he was still drinking. So we're in this hole, at this water hole in the creek. We're standing still. So he pulls out his anchor. And it was an anchor. No, nothing redneck with the anchor. So he throws it out and we're there. And he's like, I'm going to catch this son of a bitch. You got to be quiet. I said, why? I was like, they can't hear it. Oh, no. You got to be quiet. He's buzzing right now. My cousin is buzzing. Spud is a buzzing. So Spud says, we're going to catch this son of a bitch. We are. We're going to catch this fish. Yeah. We're going to catch him. I said, okay. All right. You going to catch him? Yeah, we're going to catch you, son of a bitch. Okay. All right. Let's catch you, son of a bitch. So we're casting out there. We're looking. And there he was. This fish, oh, man. This son of a bitch was huge. He was not lying. And he slapped me on the side of the arm. You know, just he slapped me on the side. He said, look, Everett. There he is. Look, I was like, yeah, he is. He's like, I'm going to catch him. And he cast out, plops in the water. And it seems like this fish, where the spot he was at, where he lived, if anything was disturbing, unnatural, he'd swim right back underneath there. So as soon as he cast in, he swam right back underneath and hit. And he's like, oh, son of a bitch. It's like, it was deep and dark. I think it was one of the deepest parts of the creek. So he's sitting there and he's like, Gonna cast again. Okay. All right. Cast. Fucking thing. All right. So he's casting, trying to catch this thing. He's pounding more beer again. I haven't even cracked open one. My stepbrother did. It became, we sat back. We stopped fishing for the fact we're watching him trying to catch this fish. We were more entertained with ourselves watching him trying to catch this damn fish. And I do remember him talking about always trying to catch this fish. Just sharing the story about catching it. I've never seen it until this day. I witness it. It was my entertainment, my stepbrother's entertainment. Just watching him catch this fish, just trying, just casting all his might, just back and forth, back and forth. It was like a workout. It was like watching a madman hitting the weights, trying to pump that iron. He was pumping that damn pole, trying to catch him. Finally, just pounding beer like it was nothing. Pound the beer in one hand, casting the other. Pound the beer in one hand, casting the other. Just back and forth. We're laughing. We're giggling. I'm like, dude, you believe this shit? My stepbrother is like, oh, God, he's not going to. I was like, he might. He's determined. And it's, and we're there for a long time. And it's starting to get dark. It's starting to get dark. Finally. Out of nowhere, it's like he cast in. He all of a sudden is like, he snagged him. Oh man, I never seen anyone so happy in my damn life. Seriously, more happier than the person winning a scratch off ticket. That's how more happy the Spud was. Spud, just I got him. It's like, well, reel him in. So he's reeling, he's trying to reel him in. All of a sudden, he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, snap. Uh-oh. He snapped his pole. It got caught, and he snapped it. When the pole snapped, Spud snapped. Spud was like, oh, the badge. It was like watching the Incredible Hulk just come to life. An alcohol-fueled brutality of anger just erupted from Spud. I've seen people mad, but I've never seen anyone mad over fishing like this guy, because he eat, breathe, and shit fishing. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, he pulls out, it looked like a Dirty Harry special from Magnum Force. I looked at my stepbrother. My stepbrother looked at me, and my stepbrother, I had to grab a hold of him. He was about to jump off the damn boat. He was about to jump out of the damn boat. I'm like, hold up. If I knew what was going to come next, I would have been joining him right there and then swimming the hell out of there. He pulls out that damn gun and he just starts boom, 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 and he's shooting. He almost hits the boat. He almost drowns her ass. And he's firing off in there. And I was like, Spud. I was like, what the hell, man? And he's like, I'm going to get that son of a bitch. Here, he hands me a net. He goes, when he comes up, you get him. I was like, the hell I am. No, we got to get him, man. I'm going to fire him off. And he loads up the gun again and starts blasting off. I'm like, dude, we're going to get in fucking trouble, man. You can't do that shit. And he's just like, hur, 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 boom, 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 hur, 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 just firing like crazy. I said to myself, I'm like, two things are going to happen here. One, I'm going to drown. I hope I drown, because if I make it out alive, I'm gonna have one less relative to give a Christmas card to Christmas. So, two, if the police show up, you better arrest me, because I'm gonna strangle his ass. That's how pissed I was. So he's out of ammo. He almost hits the boat and drowns us. And finally, he's like, ah, shit. We didn't see nothing. Nothing came up. So we called it a day. We get back down to the end of the river there and load up the boat, and we call it a day there. But it was almost a time I almost drowned in the creek with my cousin, Spud, on his boat. And I almost get stranded on a lake with Spud on his boat. Two stories right there. Just two stories right there that just come to mind there. But it's just something there. Just those times and memories there. I know that one thing that I love about my cousin, it's like I'm talking about like he passed. Nah, he's still alive. He's still alive. He's still kicking. He's still being redneck as usual. Because I know in September, when my mom passed away this past September, I received phone calls and text messages, people reaching out to me, making sure everything's okay. Some people didn't reach out to me till later, or I called them just the talk, and they wanted to know how everything was. I had some family people call me right away, want to know exactly what happened. I'm like, okay. But Spud was one of them who called me up random. I've switched my phone like about 3-4 times in the last year, and I've kept some contacts I keep on my phone. Some I lose. He was one of the numbers I lost. I thought I had in there, but I didn't. So he called me just to check up and see how everything was. And we talked for a long time and just caught up. It was great talking with him. It was. I know back when I was doing writing, when I lived up there, he loved the stuff I'd write and stuff, stories and stuff that I have still to this day. He has a copy of one of the first stories that I really sat down and wrote. And he reminds me when I go see him up in Tennessee, when I do get to see him, he does remind me. He's like, I still got your story. Like, yeah. He's like, you didn't get it published. Well, I did get one book published. It was like a novelette, and one of the characters in it was based off of him, which I'm proud of. And he loved it when I gave him a copy of it, and I signed it for him just to have. I said, here you go. I love you. You're my cousin. We've had great times getting in the trouble and stuff growing up, and he loved it, and he shared it with my uncle and his aunt. He's like, you need to read this book. This character's based off of me. He was so happy. He was so proud. He was so proud of it, and I was just proud just to, you know, throw it in there, because so much time and stuff I spent with him growing up in Tennessee, you know, spend that time in Tennessee. But one thing was he liked my collection of comic books and stuff that I have that I'd read and I'd share with him and stuff. He liked all that stuff. He thought it was pretty cool. And it's like, I'm sitting there the other night, I have right here, what is it? Right here. I just finished reading Hawkeye, LA Woman. I love reading graphic novels. I have a shitload of graphic novels right here by my desk that I bought a few months ago. I found a good place to buy like a bunch of graphic novels for, like, I picked up like 5-6 graphic novels for the price of 2 that you'd pay if you went to like a Books a Million or a Barnes and Noble. I'm like, screw that, man. Someone tipped me off Ripper Blackheart. I've had him on the podcast. He tipped me off about, hey, you need to go up this one place. They get bargains on these things. And there's a lot of good stories, good graphic novels. And I picked up a few of them, and I've been trying to get through reading them here and there lately. But with a lot of stuff going on, it's hard, though. But I've had some time here in the last few weeks. What was the one that I finished? I have right here. Let me reach down and grab it. Oh, here it is. Yeah, I finally finished holding in my hand right here. The hardcover of Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77. Really, really great story with these two. And it's the Adam West likeness and the, what do you call it? Wonder Woman. I'm forgetting her name. Linda Carter likeness. Really great. Really thick hardcover graphic novel. On the front, you got Mark Andruko, Jeff Parker, David Hahn, and Carl Kelsa. They pretty much did this. I mean, it was written by Mark and Jeff, and colored and inked. And yeah, it's what I like about the cover. It's done by Alex Ross. He does some great shit. Google Alex Ross, and you want to see some cool comic book stuff? Oh God, look at that right there. I've been a fan of his stuff for years right there. And it's a good one. But I finished Hawkeye, LA Woman. And pretty much the story description on the back says Kate Bishop heads to Los Angeles to get away from New York life and Cliff Barton. But she can't escape trouble because Madame Masquerade is hanging around out poolside with a rich famous in the well as Kate helps the reclusive and 60s damaged pop music genius find his lost masterpiece. Madame finds Kate, and Kate Bishop trying to find herself as her own person. And it's a great story. I mean, great story. I like to get another one about her, you know, doing some adventures and stuff. So any recommendations, send them in. Right now, I just started right here, the hard cover of this one here. X-Men, No More Humans. Mike Carey and Salvador La Roca. And it explains on the back of it, the X-Men awake to find all the world's humans gone. From normal everyday folks to the Avengers and Fantastic Four, all Homo sapiens have disappeared. The clashing factions of the X-Men are forced together as they search for a way to bring the humans back. But not everyone misses the weaker species. And it's from best-selling author and classic X-Men scribe Mike Carvey. I suck with names. And superstar artist Salvador La Roca. Comes the first X-Men since the classic X-Men, God loves, man kills. And pretty much the story is, yeah, the X-Men come to find out all the humans are gone. And they do some investigating and stuff. Magneto comes. Scott has his own X-Men. Wolverine's running the X-Men at the school, from what I understand, or Beast is, but Magneto comes, and they all come together to find out what the hell is going on. And it has to do with Wolverine and Mystique's love child, Raz. It has to do with him, a big story. So far I got into it. It's where all of a sudden, like, all these mutants just start showing up at the Xavier school. They're using it as a refugee, and the X-Men are trying to figure out, where are the humans? Did they die? Did they get disintegrated? Or if they're still around, how are we going to bring them back? But that one, I'm reading that right now, which is great. And I got some other ones here that I said I haven't got to, like, holding right here from Frank Miller, Batman Year One. Got that graphic novel. What else do I have? I'm thinking I'm kind of like on the flip side here. I have two right here. I'm leaning towards reading I should read after X-Men, Doctor Strange, The Way of the Weird, or the Mighty Thor. And this one don't give too much of a description on the back of it, but the hardcover right here of Doctor Strange, The Way of the Weird. I'm leaning towards reading this after X-Men, and this looks fantastic. The art in this one does. But I heard that The Way of the Weird, it kind of reminds you of what the Doctor Strange film that is going to be, that will be out within this year, later this year, has something to do with like the Multiverse of Madness or kind of like that. So I'm debating on whether to just start that one after X-Men. I think I will, but I will say this though. One book that I do recommend that people should get up, not get up, but get down. Now, one book I read was My Life in Heaventown by J.J. Maguire and John Cosper. J.J. Maguire collaborated with Jimmy Hart on a lot of famous WWF themes back in the day. He's done themes like Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy, Ted DiBiase, Million Dollar Man, Coco Beware, Big Boss Man, Demolition, and Hulk Hogan's Real American, just to name a few. And Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Huh. Superfly. Yeah, that was JJ. So he put a book out, My Life in Heaventown, by him and John Cosper. And it talks about his days growing up in Somerset, Kentucky, to touring with the Gentrys and meeting Jimmy Hart in the Gentrys and developing that friendship and becoming like brothers, all the way going to Hollywood, California, and meeting celebrities such as Farrah Fawcett, Gene Simmons, Alice Cooper, Bob Hope, to name a few, and getting into the wrestling business and creating some of the best ironic wrestling themes in history. And you can get it off of Amazon.com, or you can go over and get a signed autograph of this book around eatsleepwrestle.com. So if you want to get the book, pick it up at Amazon. But if you want a signed autograph by yours truly, JJ Hurricane, JJ Maguire, head over to eatsleepwrestle.com for a signed autograph copy. And wow, my desktop is bright. I just hooked up some gym RGB case fan lights and it looks freaking fantastic. So I'm just looking at that. I sent some pictures out, video of the stuff, had people say, whoa, how'd you do that? Well, took the side off, hooked the fans up, boom, done. But besides that, well, this has been great. Just sitting here talking. Didn't even finish my drink yet. So much talking. How do you do a podcast with one person? Talk about something entertaining that entertains you, and I hope it entertains people listening. So I see some people listening. I want to thank you for jumping in here tonight on this Tuesday night. I was supposed to have Karma Dean on, but unfortunately her schedule didn't work out. Something came up and she was unable to come on tonight. But as soon as I get with her and we come up with another date and time for her to be on the podcast, I'll be sure to share it over on my social media, over on Facebook, Everett Lee Show, Twitter, at the Everett_Lee, and I'm on Instagram, Everett Lee, and on YouTube, Everett Lee. And you can listen to this podcast and a lot of my previous release podcast over on right here in Podbeam, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and on iTunes. And Podcast City Network, your top source for independent podcasting. Be creative, be yourself. Head over to podcastcity.net. You can check out shows like the Everett Lee Show, Deathmatch Wrestle Podcast, Final Score, Verbal Shenanigans, Imagining with Scott and Todd, and many, many other great, exciting shows over on Podcast Network. Movie Nights Podcast, Movie Nights Roundtable, shout out. Rip Griffin Show, shout out. Fixed Edge, shout out. And what else is there after that? Oh, yeah, they got social media. Facebook, Podcast Network. Twitter, at Podcast Net. If I'm repeating myself, so be it. I got a lot going on in my head right now, dancing up in there. So haven't met my midlife crisis yet. I still got a few more years for that. So, and Podcast Network on YouTube, Podcast Network. And that's it. That is it. I rambled on for an hour. I took an hour of your time. Hopefully it was good. If it was bad, just don't listen again. But if you did jump in tonight, I do appreciate it, man. Thank you for following. And on the audio podcast, give a rating, write a review, and just share and follow and like. And over on podcasty.net on the shop section, I have merchandise up, and that would help out a lot for this podcast and for Podcasty Network if you jumped over there and you checked out the wide variety of t-shirts, hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, pillowcases, blankets, phone cases, and more on podcastcity.net/shop. Next week, what's going on next week on the podcast? Oh, yeah. Next week, next Tuesday night, February 22nd, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Deathmatch Russell podcast host David C. Russell will be joining me as co-hosting, as I have OVW's Reverend Ronnie Roberts on. So check that out next week right here on Podbeam Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Every Lee signing off. Everyone have a great night. And I'll see you again next week for another new episode of The Everett Lee Show. Peace.